Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times.
Welcome back, 1206 at 1260 WRC. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times on this Martin Luther King Day 2014. Joining me now, Rowan Scarborough. He's got a piece in today's Washington Times, a very important story. Jihadist from at least four Al-Qaeda groups in on Benghazi attack. Hello, Rowan. How are you?
Hey, doing well, Andy.
Most damning evidence yet? Is that what I get from this?
I think this is the first time that we've seen an official report that makes a list of the people who did Benghazi. I mean, before it was militants, and then it was Ansar al-Sharia, which is a new group in North Africa tied to al-Qaeda. But the Senate Intelligence Committee has declassified various reports that show that there were at least four al-Qaeda-linked groups that were on the ground in Benghazi that night carrying out the attack, not just Ansar al-Sharia, but al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, al-Qaeda in the Maghreb, which is the North Africa group, and then the shadowy Muhammad Jamal Network, which is an Egyptian-based terror group that is tied to Haiman al-Zariri, who is the head of al-Qaeda today. So it's quite a collection, isn't it? Some of the nastiest people in the world convene that night around the mission to torture it and to kill people. And now we know that based on these declassified documents.
Wow. The who's who of al-Qaeda. And just think, the president the other day referred to those folks as the JV of al-Qaeda.
Yes. You know, he's determined to make the historic record that al-Qaeda, that he's defeated al-Qaeda. I think that's part of his talking points. And as we've seen since 9/11, and when we started to put all this pressure on the al-Qaeda base in Pakistan, they made a strategic decision to franchise, to send people to other regions in the world, and through training and ideology and money and things like that, to set up franchise groups, and they did it in they did it in Iraq, they did it in Yemen, and they're really doing it in North Africa. That to them is prime real estate, especially with the uprising, the Arab Spring as it's called. I mean, that's just prime time for al-Qaeda. And as the intelligence reports show, they moved into Libya very quickly after Gaddafi went down and began setting up training camps and lines of communications and networking, all the stuff that al-Qaeda likes to do to get a foothold. And they're there to this day in eastern Libya. And we know this is how al-Qaeda operates. We know if you look at al-Qaeda in Iraq, and we know a lot more about them because as they were sending fighters in from Pakistan and from North Africa, we were there on the ground with our troops, and we were able to detain some of them, seize their records, interrogate them, and we got a pretty good idea of how the base in Pakistan can run a franchise, you know, that's 1,000 miles away through sending messengers, through sending fighters, things like that. And that's what we don't have that great a picture of North Africa because we don't have troops on the ground there detaining people and interviewing them and things like that. But you can extrapolate that that's exactly what is happening in North Africa. The way they did al-Qaeda in Iraq is the way they're doing North Africa, by sending people in, by ideology, and all the other methods that they use to set up these franchises. And, Andy, one of the groups that did Benghazi is the Muhammad Jamal Network, which sprung up in Egypt. And this network has very, very intricate ties to al-Qaeda. The founder trained in al-Qaeda training camps. He was a protege of al-Zariri. He then formed his own group. He went to Libya. And so we know now, factually, that al-Qaeda-linked groups and very likely al-Qaeda-based operators did the Benghazi attack.
The signs were there, but we didn't do anything about it.
We were being knocked on the head with evidence that this was coming. I mean, they were, the black al-Qaeda flag was going up in eastern Libya and in Benghazi, and they were picking off Western targets one by one. Their first goal was to get the West out of eastern Libya, and then the next goal, of course, is with al-Qaeda, is to bring down a government. So they were doing step one, and they had done everybody. The British got out. The Red Cross got out. They had done everybody but us. So we knew that we were on the list. And to add to that, 2 months before the attack, the CIA put out a report to everybody, including the White House and the State Department, saying that eastern Libya had become a massing point for al-Qaeda-affiliated groups, the ones that carried out the attack, and that they were becoming more dangerous, they were becoming more organized, and, you know, that when a report like that comes out, you're supposed to act on it. You're not supposed to read it and put it in the outbox. The embassy, the ambassador, Christopher Stevens, asked for 13 more diplomatic security officers because of this report, and he wasn't declined. He was ignored. The State Department never responded to his request for 13 more diplomatic security officers, and that is the case record. This is the history of the tragedy of Benghazi.
Huh. Now, what about the New York Times, the story that I like to call Hillary Helper, that for all intents and purposes gave the former Secretary of State a pass on this? I guess this new report kind of blows everything out of the water there.
Well, I think if you're someone, a critic of the New York Times or a Republican or, you know, somebody who doesn't like the paper, to these people, you know, this is prima facie evidence that the New York Times wrote a horrible story. They asserted in, the sixth or seventh paragraph, that al-Qaeda or any international terrorist group had nothing to do with Benghazi. Well, when you read the Senate report, that is just flat wrong, because international terror groups were involved, and al-Qaeda was involved through their franchises. It's just that clear. And so, you know, the motives for the New York Times writing that is going to have to be left for people to discern. Republicans believe it's to get Hillary off the, off the snide, because she was the state, she was Secretary of State at the time. And if you say that this was just a bunch of disorganized militants who spontaneously attacked the mission, then, Mrs. Clinton can say, see, I mean, there wasn't a lot that we could do to prevent it. But this Senate report and declassified documents tells another tale. It sets up the chronology month by month leading up to the attack.
Now, you wrote that White House spokesman Jay Carney was upset with Republicans about the release of this information. Why?
I don't know why he, the two things happened. You know, we had the Senate intel report. Then, meanwhile, the House Armed Services Committee, they had done an investigation on what did the military know that day and what did they do. And they just happened to declassify transcripts from those closed-door hearings. And it shows that the top military leaders of our country, from the AFRICOM commander to the Secretary of Defense and the JCS chairman, all decided this was a terror attack within hours or a day of the attack. Not a video, not a demonstration, but this was a systematic terrorist attack. And Jay Carney, as spokesman, persisted in saying we don't know what kind of attack it was, and he said that for days and days and days.
Yep.
We know that Susan Rice went on TV and said this was a demonstration caused by a video. The president said that. Mrs. Clinton said that. So reporters ask him, hey, what this does not, the fact that military leaders were telling everybody this was a terrorist attack doesn't jive with what the White House was saying. And at that, Carney went off on an attack on Republicans for declassifying these transcripts. That, so much for transparency, right, Andy?
Yeah, no kidding. All right, but in the end, is there any doubt that this administration ran with the whole video story for 2 weeks because we were hit by terrorists right after the administration had told Americans Bin Laden was dead, GM was alive, and al-Qaeda was on the run? I mean, is there any doubt about it?
Well, it's clear that the Benghazi terror attack did not fit in with the campaign message going on. I mean, the president was running for re-election at the time, and to say that this was a orchestrated terrorist attack by al-Qaeda franchises did not fit the campaign talking points. So what fitted them better was to say it was a spontaneous demonstration caused by an American video.
Mm-hmm.
That fit into their message a lot better.
Yep, sure did. All right, folks, if you haven't read the story, please check it out. It's in today's Washington Times, the print edition, and online at WashingtonTimes.com. It's called Jihadist from at least four Al-Qaeda groups in on Benghazi attack, and it's by Rowan Scarborough. Rowan, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay, Andy, so long.
1216, 1260 WRC, Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. More on the way. A little later, we're going to check in with Deborah Simmons. She's written a piece on MLK Day. And I want to remind you, this portion of Andy Parks live from the Washington Times is brought to you by K-Hubnanian Homes. New communities, new designs. Go to khub.com for more information. Stay tuned.